to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back for our final installment of this special conversation with Kevin Freeman. He is a man that I've come to rely on for his insights and acumen with respect to a whole host of things, but most especially our economic security interests, the subject of a new weekly program that Kevin will be featured in at the Blaze Network starting a little later this summer called Economic War Room with Kevin Freeman. Kevin, one of the things that you have brought to my attention is a recent report that whoever it was, and frankly it's not entirely clear who it was, who went into the Democratic National Committee's computer systems last year, also was trying to get into the computer hardware, software, both of the Heritage Foundation. What do we know about who these masked men were and what they were trying to do at Heritage, and did they succeed?
Well, first off, it came from an FBI memo that was confirmed, I believe, by former head of the Heritage Foundation, Jim DeMint, the senator, who confirmed that whoever was attacking the DNC appeared to have been trying to get in unsuccessfully, I happily report, into the Heritage Foundation. They'd used phishing emails, the same kind of phishing emails that were used, virtually identical to the ones that were used with the DNC. And as a result, they weren't able to get in. Good news. Bad news is Heritage Foundation had a database on all potential nominees for Trump administration positions. So it is like a pre-Office of Personnel Management hack. They hack this and they know who all would be eligible to go into, and of course, as you know, having served in the administration, when you apply for jobs, they ask all kinds of information. They retain files and databases and so forth. It would have been very dangerous if they'd gotten it.
And Kevin, the thing that is interesting is, as we've been talking about with others, including most recently, I think, Diana West, is it is stunning that the analysis of the cyber attack in the Democratic National Committee's computer systems is based not on forensic analysis by the FBI, but on the basis of a contractor to the DNC's report. To the extent that there is this close similarity between what's known about the DNC and the Heritage attacks, I presume that the Heritage Foundation has permitted the FBI to actually have access to their hardware, software, what have you, something that the DNC evidently did not do. And that might give rise actually to greater confidence about who was involved.
Well, the reason that they say that it's the same person is that they were substantially similar phishing emails that were sent in. But we don't know. To your point and Diana West's point is that we don't know because the FBI has not been able to look at those computers, and in fact, we know those DNC staffers or those that were working for Wasserman Schultz at the time, they have been called out. One fled to Pakistan, so we don't know. What I do find interesting is if it was the same group and they went after the DNC, but also after the Heritage Foundation, you might not jump to that quick conclusion this was a group trying to get Donald Trump elected. And we know that the RNC was attacked as well. Apparently, they didn't get in at the RNC either. But it does not appear then that it was someone colluding to try and elect Donald Trump.
Kevin, one of the things that you focused on, I think very importantly, in your book, Game Plan, is the extent to which our electric grid is highly vulnerable to attack. And I wonder if you've given any thought to the latest report that the Russians have built weapons that apparently have been optimized, cyber weapons, that is, optimized for taking down our grid. What do you know about that, and how seriously should we take not just the threat, but the need to make our grid more resilient?
Well, apparently, and this was reported in the Washington Post yesterday, that the Russian government or hackers allied with the Russian government have developed a weapon called Crash Override. And it may have been used in the Ukraine, and that as they've analyzed what took place there, it's called a game changer. It's the kind of thing where they can point to, just like they have a super EMP weapon that could take out the grid, now they may have a cyber weapon that we're not prepared for. So it's very frightening. It fits with what we've talked about for years, that other nations are developing these weapons, and we have a responsibility, therefore, to develop protections and defenses for them.
Kevin Freeman, let me turn finally to economics to talk about the relationship that has been evolving since the end of the campaign between President Trump and the chairman of the Federal Reserve, Janet Yellen. There are reports that Gary Cohn, the chairman of the National Economic Council that we mentioned earlier, a Goldman Sachs alum, has been trying to midwife an improved relationship between the president and Janet Yellen. What can you share with us about where that stands and whether there's likely to be a new chairman of the Fed appointed by President Trump?
Well, it would not be in the president's interest to come out blustering and replace the Fed chairman. It would give the markets a tummy ache, and so he's not likely to do that. He's toned down his rhetoric. It's been pointed out to him that both the chairman and the president were born within a couple of months of each other in different boroughs of New York, not at great distance. They have differing economic philosophies. The president wants faster growth. The chairman believes that economic growth should be in the 2% range. That's the maximum we can do without stressing the system. The president thinks we should do 3% or 4%. So I think it will come to a head at some point. It's just not going to come to a head, in my opinion, immediately. And we watched the president, and when he was running for office, he and Ted Cruz were best buddies 1 week because they were in agreement, and a week later they were attacking one another. And right now, I think Chairman Yellen is safe. I don't know that she will be reappointed, though. I think that when he gets the opportunity to appoint a new Fed chairman, he will look for someone that will focus on faster growth, which is what he's after.
And as I understand it, she has the option of staying on the Fed, even if she ceases to be its chairman. Is that right?
That's a fair question. I don't have an immediate answer, but I know there are three open positions on the Fed, so the president is going to be able to reshape the Fed with his appointments anyway.
Do you anticipate, given what you've said, Kevin, that we're likely to see continuing sort of cutting back on the so-called quantitative easing that Janet Yellen presided over?
I think they're ready. I think the Fed overall is ready. They're going to allow interest rates. They're going to bring interest rates up. The market may not be ready, but the Fed is ready to raise interest rates where they have control. And I think that they will, as the bonds mature that they've bought, they will shrink their balance sheet by just buying less of them in the market. So if $20 billion worth of bonds mature, they might buy $17 billion more in the market as they slowly bleed off their balance sheet. And we'll see how the market responds to it. Right now, the market seems addicted to the crack cocaine of easy money, and nobody's worried about any of the things we've talked about. They look at the stock markets; it's at a new all. The market's at a new all-time high.
Kevin Freeman, we're very grateful for your time, much of it today, and we look forward to continuing the conversation with you as we do each week. But I think we need to make a regular feature of these longer conversations because there is so much going on in your portfolio. And we'll look forward to watching about it at the Blaze Network with the new program, Kevin Freeman's Economic War Room. Stay tuned for it, as well as more from us tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.